Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is Pergamos. This is the age. Pergamos means thoroughly married. This is the age where paganism and Christianity became married together. How? That was when Satan, remember, it's an agenda. Hallelujah. Remember, it's an agenda. That is a period where Satan had succeeded in establishing the rulership of man. Like it happened, that's why he called it Mystery Babylon. They conquered the whole world from Babylon, the seat of Satan. They conquered the whole world physical. But now, it has to be spiritual. And so, the same way he operated physical in conquering nations, now that he has been wounded, you shall see it later on in Revelation chapter 13. The beast that was wounded, but came back again to life. Where did he come back to life? It's spiritual. The Roman kingdom that was wounded, but it has come back to life, is ruling now, but this time spiritual. That is the mystery Babylon. Ruling from the Vatican. The only religious body that is a nation within a nation. That city, the Vatican City, has ambassadors all over the world. He is given more honor than any ruler you know of on earth. He is looked as the most holy man on earth. Why? Because he has assumed the vicar of Christ, the representative of Christ on earth. You cannot see Christ anymore. He is the Christ that you can see. So he has the power to do and undo as far as the Christian faith is concerned. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, all they needed, remember that by the time the church moved to Rome, persecutions scattered people like Polycarp away. And when they scattered them away, all the leaders of the Christian faith ran away from Rome. By the time they now came back, the little group that was left had the infiltration of these false doctrines. Fight began. The church divided into two. Those who believed it as the Bible will have it, especially when it comes to water baptism and the Godhead. Remember that the Babylonian religion is a polytheist religion, a religion that gives room to many gods. But Christianity is one God. And so, before you know what, hierarchies began, the bishops of the churches, the two factions, one of them immediately decided so that you will have upper hand and persecute the ones that stood with the scripture. To do that, the attention of the Roman Empire, the emperors and the leaders. They allowed them into their fellowship, allowed them to come in there, and then Satan with his agenda, by the time it came to the reign of Constantine, we know that according to history, he was to fight a very serious battle, and he saw in that vision the pillar of fire that showed the sign of the cross that appeared to him in that vision, and he understood it to mean that the God of the Christians will fight the battle for him. And according to history, he told all his soldiers to put the mark of the cross. And he made a vow that if he should go and win this battle and come back, he will embrace the Christian faith. And he went. Remember, it's a satanic agenda. He won. And therefore, he came back. Bila said, not that he became born again, no. He now decided to give recognition to this other strange religion. So he had to add Christianity to his own. Praise the Lord. And with his influence, he tried to bring the two groups, the Christian groups, together. But the other ones that stood for the truth refused. They still stood on the scriptures and the apostolic faith. This other false group decided to get closer to the authorities and labeled those ones heretics. It had been going on, but when Constantine came now, he decided to use his influence to have called a meeting that at Nicene in AD 325 to bring the groups together with him as the chairman of the Christian Association of Rome. Let all the people that call on the name of the Lord come together. You Christians, why are we fighting? Okay. Let's see how we can have a religion that can accommodate everybody. Praise God. And that is how they decided, we the Babylonians, we believe in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We already believe you have Father, Son, Holy Ghost in the Bible. We already believe in Nimrod and a father. And we have a similar thing in the Babylonian religion. So, let's change it to Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That is where Trinity began. And everybody, they all agreed. The first one, those that stood with the scripture, they left. Therefore, they were tagged heretics. And then persecution started. Label them this with authority behind them. Those bishops were ordering them. They were killing the believers. Killing them. History said they killed 68 million. The Roman Catholic. That is the Roman Church. Killed 68 million that refused to follow idolatry. That is where they adopted the worship of Mary. They were already worshiping Semiramis. Changed the name Semiramis. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is how idolatry came into the Christian faith. Pergamos thoroughly married in this age. The state, government now, together with the church, they became one. They became so one, and the leaders of the church became so powerful that very soon that the leader of the Catholicism using the emperor now and things like that, they conquered and conquered all around the Roman Empire. And before you know what, it's an agenda of Satan. The Pope, the Bishop of Rome, that later on rose to become the Papa Roma, now had influence all over Europe. The followers that were following, remember, they have successfully positioned themselves to be looked at as God, who had the power to forgive, who has the power to send you to hell. And his word was final. Until it got to a stage where, remember, wars were taking place. Emperor will die, another one will rise. But whoever one will rise will be somebody that was already loyal to the Pope. And so before you know what, the whole empire came under the authority of the Pope. And under that, and please, it is still so till today. I have sat down to ask, do you know that you all this one Pentecostals struggle to raise money? Do you see them raise money like that in Europe? Catholic Church, they call Catholic Church. Do you see them stand like that and raise the money for us to pay television, raise money for us to build? Do you see them see that? In the whole of Europe, I know it. In the whole of Europe, as you are entering Europe and they are giving you form to fill for any job, you will write there, faith. You are either a Christian or a Muslim. When you say you are a Christian, that's all. At the end of the month, your tithe is deducted by your worker, by your employer, and sent to the Catholic Church. The whole of Europe, all those nations. Every one of you, there's no negotiation. At the end of the month, as you get your salary, tithe has been removed and sent. I imagine the millions of people in Europe, and all of them, 90% of them, the only little ones that came out, they started fighting it. If you say Christian, they will say Lutheran. Then they allow Lutheran. If you are from Lutheran, they will send your own to Lutheran church. That's the one they recognize in places like Germany. They recognize only the Lutherans, and then they recognize the Catholics. So their allegiance is not to the constitution, it's to the Pope over there. Then you'll understand later how, in history later on, we see it, how that they even have power to remove an emperor. Because he can order the whole nation not to obey you. And he did it until one of them had to come to him to ask for forgiveness. An emperor. That is the mystery Babylon. Go and read it. It's in the history. I'm not telling you something I have, cooked up. Why? The deed of the Nicolaitans is what I'm talking about. The state and religion married together, became one. Politics and religion mashed together, became one. Paganism and the church joined together to be married together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what did it produce? It produced a hybrid Christianity. Why will he give forth a religion that has no life? Hybrid. I told you what hybrid is all about. So what did he produce? Death. That's why God hates it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then we go to the doctrine of Balaam. Hallelujah. When I found out something, when I took a little study about this mystery Babylon, I discovered that the influence is so much in Christendom, in this age, that most of us, including me here, we are caught up in it unawares. Now listen, church. It is a Babylonian religion that have shrines that are raised up to the worship of their various gods. They are called shrines. Do you know what? The name shrine was changed to altar in Christianity. The idea of you erecting a place and calling it special altar unto some churches, if you go there, you see all manner of images and things like that. You sit in the Catholic Church. You know where they brought it from. Mystery Babylon. All their gods, they have images representing all of them. Had the shrines. They changed pagan worship and gave them Christian names. Instead of shrine, they call it altar. Where is the altar of the Lord? In this age. Your heart. It's your heart. And every temple, oh glory be to God, has an altar. Where is the altar? The heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at some altars. Then you will understand this mystery Babylon. There are shrines. How many of these put there? People go and bow before them. Oh. Ah. Hey. Ah.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth.
Glimpses of truth.
Thou hast
placed in my hand.
Placed in my hand. That wonderful
that shall on cloud.
That shall on cloud. I shall be
brought. Open my eyes,
Hear
the divine,
Hallelujah. Now listen, get me right. Get me very right. You can on your own decide to dedicate a place where you go to meet with your Lord as a personal altar where you dedicate. But please have it at the back of your mind where the true altar is. In the church, we dedicate this place. For any reason you have, any reason you want to come and wait on the Lord to withdraw yourself, come and kneel down here and talk to the Lord. I am not banning it. I am giving you revelation. Now know that it is a place just dedicated for prayers. And therefore, there should be no special decoration of some images and things like that that will make it look like those shrines. No. No. Praise God. God honors your faith. In your house, you may dedicate your own house, a room for your prayers. And I'm telling you, God honors the faith. Hallelujah. But I'm trying to tell you the history of this type of altar you see in churches. Go to Sela, you will see them there. Go to Catholic Church. From the gate, you see Semiramis there, giving the name Mary. And you go, it's idolatry. It's not Christianity. For it is written, you will not make any image or likeness of anything in heaven. Oh, on earth, and bow before it. Exodus chapter 20 says so. It's wrong. Therefore, don't begin to look at this place. Come and see the things we see on this altar. Oh. Some people come there and then they will lie down there. Believing that when they lie down here, this is where God is stationed in Brother Assembly. When you come like that, it's idolatry in disguise. That you are right with God does not come by the answers you receive anytime you pray in that your idolatrous way. If you carry my picture and say, oh, Pastor Moses, I know you to be a servant of God. Come and heal my headache. And you place like this. You will receive healing instantly. But it's not God that heals you. It's Satan. Do you know why? Because there is nowhere in the scripture that the name of Moses Alu can heal anybody. If you receive that healing, it's Satan. So that you, I will become your idol and you will be separated from God. Brother Jerry is just reminding me of something we saw in Jerusalem. In a particular temple there, there is the image of Mary. Huh. And please, take note before I say that. That the worship of a woman, deifying a woman, has been in existence long in the time of the Babylonian Empire. That's Ram. Now, we went somewhere and all around the walls, of that temple are different images of supposed Mary. There is the Mary of Rome. Then there is the Indian Mary. Then there is the Chinese Mary. There's the Thailand Mary. There's the Filipino Mary. And everyone, when it comes to the one for the Chinese Mary, he had three faces. And an image in front there was the image that was carved and made. And right at the feet is a snake. Image of a snake. And guess what? People were lining up there. They will come there and kiss the feet where the snake is. Kiss it. And do the sign of the cross. Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Very pious. Snake. I snapped the picture. That is the image. Let's see the leg. Can you see the snake? Can you see the snake? Eh? You see, it don't turn black when they touch. But listen, church. Hallelujah. It's idolatry. There is nothing there. Nothing there. Nothing. Nothing there that can increase your spirituality. It only makes the Bible more real to you. And you see, before you believe, Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who will not see. If I have to go to Jerusalem before I believe, you didn't go to Jerusalem, you believe. Jesus said, you are more blessed than me. At the end of it all, is Christ formed in you. And Christ will not be formed in you, because I know many people, even my close friends in the military, that when they came back, they became more Christian for about 1 week. Then after 1 week, they went back to drinking and fornicating. And I said, you're a Jerusalem pilgrim. He said, Alu, you have not gone there, that's why. I said, if I go there, what's the difference between me when I never go and you will go? You're drinking. He said, don't condemn. No, I'm not condemning. I want to know why I will go there. You have not told me anything that will attract me to also. Even they go there to get Holy Ghost. We will go there every year. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Every country has her own Mary. It is just a church. They were worshipping that image long before Christianity came up. In various forms. Chapter 2 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. And I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now let me read the way William Branham put it on page 206. This is the commentary on that part. Exposition of the seven church ages. So Balaam got Israel to commit fornication. Do you know that physical fornication is the very same spirit that lies in organized religion? I said that the spirit of fornication is the spirit of organization. And all fornicators will have their place in the lake of fire. That is what God thinks of organization. Yes, sir. The whore and her daughters will be in the lake of fire. Denominations are not of God. Let me mean they talk about now William Branham, they talk, I'm reading from the book Exposition of the Seven Church Ages. They never have been and never will be. It's a wrong spirit that separates the people of God into hierarchy and laity. And it's therefore a wrong spirit that separates the people from the people. That's what organization and denominations do. In organizing, they separate themselves from the word of God and bring themselves into spiritual adultery. Now notice that Constantine, Emperor Constantine, gave special feasts unto the people. They were the old pagan feasts with new names taken from the church. Or in some cases, Christian rites were given and abused with pagan ceremonies. He took the worship of the sun god and changed it to the Son of God. Instead of celebrating on December 21, which is when they used to celebrate the feast to the sun god, they put it up to December 25th and call it the Son of God's birthday. And they took the feast to Ashtar and call it the Easter celebration, wherein the Christian is supposed to celebrate the death and resurrection of the Lord. Actually, it was a pagan feast to Ashtar. That's Easter. They placed altars in the church. They put in images. They gave the people what they called the Apostles' Creed, though you can't find it in the Bible. They taught the people ancestor worship, thereby making the Roman Catholic Church the greatest spiritistic church in the world. Every foul bird was in that cage. And you have the Protestants with the organizations doing the same thing. Now the Bible says they ate things sacrificed to idols. Now, I don't say that this really means they were literally eating meat sacrificed to idols. For though the Council of Jerusalem has spoken against such, Paul did not make much of it, as he said the idols were nothing. It was just a matter of conscience, except where it offended a weaker brother, and then it was not allowed. Furthermore, the revelation has to do with Gentiles and not Jews, as these are Gentile churches. I see this in the same light I see the words of the Lord, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Unquote. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Unquote. You can see that eating is actually partaking in a spiritual sense. So when these people were bowing to images, lighting candles, using pagan holidays, confessing their sins to men, all of which belong to the devil's religion, they were partakers with the devil and not of the Lord. They were in idolatry, whether they committed it or not. They can talk all they want that the altars and the incense are only to remind them of the prayers of the Lord, or whatever they think it means. And they can say that when they pray before the image, it is just for the sake of emphasis. And that when they confess to the priest, it is really to God they are doing it in their hearts. And when they say the priest forgive them, it is just that it's doing it in the name of the Lord. They can say what they want, but they are partaking in the well-known Babylonian satanic religion and have joined themselves to idols and committed spiritual fornication, which means death. They are dead. So the church and the state were married. The church joined up with idols. With the power of the state behind them, they felt that now the kingdom has come and God's will had been enforced upon the earth. No wonder the Roman Catholic Church is not looking for the return of the Lord Jesus. They are not millennialists. They have their millennium right here. The Pope is reigning right now and God is reigning in him. That's what they say. So when he comes, according to them, it has to be when the new heavens and the earth are prepared. But they are wrong. That Pope is the head of the false church. And there is going to be a millennium. But while that is going on, he won't be in it. He will be somewhere else. Unquote. That is William Branham. And I agree with him. And if you agree with him, say amen. Praise the Lord. So what is the doctrine of Balaam? He caused the people to eat food sacrificed to idols. The story of Balaam is from Numbers chapter 22, chapter 23, chapter 24, chapter 25. We don't know the story. Israel was moving to her promised land. And every nation they passed, they demolished it and passed. Now they were heading towards Moab. And Balak, the king of Moab, was afraid that this people will come and finish them. In his fear, He decided to contact a fortune teller known as Prophet Balaam. Come and curse these people, for we know the gods hear you. Anything you say, they back it up. Because he knows how to make altar to any spirit you want him to make to. He can make altar to the God of Israel. He can make altar to any deity. And he came quickly. Which people are coming? Israel. I know how to go and contact their God. He sent the people there with the reward of divination. Amen. It is that same spirit that will make a prophet not attend to you until you drop something. And those prophets fool everywhere, especially in Africa. Nigeria in particular, West Africa and Southern Africa. They fool there. Before you see a prophet, you feel form and drop money. Oh, glory be to God. Yes. And then depending on the type of prayer, they will charge you for the type of prayer they will pray for you. Balaam therefore went to curse Israel. Listen. And God of Israel said, they are blessed. You can't curse them. Kai. That's another message entirely. But listen, church. We all know the story. He did it about 3 times. He was troubling God. Then later on, God said he should go. Anyway, whatever he did, he discovered he could not curse whom God has blessed. So, but the important thing is, so that you'll understand the doctrine of Balaam. What is the doctrine of Balaam? Praise the Lord. Because he is the one, according to chapter 30, let's read it. Numbers chapter 30. I think somewhere, let me be sure of the verse. Chapter 31. Verse 16. Concerning those Midianites, he said, behold, this caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. This, if you just read chapter 22 up to chapter 25, you won't understand verse 14 of Revelation chapter 2, that it was Balaam that taught Balak. That's why I want to connect it. Now, when Balaam discovered that these people are blessed, if you are going to curse them, you will not succeed. He decided to teach him, let's do something. Let me tell you, do something that will make their God, make them do something that their God will be angry with them. Then in his anger, he will deal with them. That is the doctrine of Balaam. And the same thing he does with every Christian. When he decides that to attack you, he cannot attack you. To scatter your business, he cannot scatter your business. To destroy in any way through their witchcraft, they cannot get you. Then Satan, in his very old way as he did it before, he will come and cause you by yourself to do something by yourself. Not be him push you, he will bring you, entice you into something that when you do it, then God will be angry. What the witch could not succeed. 10 times that wrath will come from God against you. And he told him to organize a feast. And bring all your fine girls. Let them dress. These people have been in the wilderness. They never see naked woman. They are under strict laws. That is the kind of thing that some of us who have our children who grow up with us under strict environment, as soon as they leave you to go to the university, now they are in the campus. They say, hooray! Hey, we are free. Hey, pray for your children. Oh. Hallelujah. While they are with you, they are obeying you. Don't say, oh, it's a nice child, until you let her loose to go now and be on her own, on his own. Where they will be enticing him with freedom to do anything. Look, man, you don't have this life to live again. God said, you don't have this life to live again. We live it once. Enjoy yourself. Which one be it? My papa said, now, pastor, now waiting. What time are you going to carry your hair like this? No, we are hearing. At this campus, so. There's campus, and when we go home, we know as we leave for house. When we come here, don't mind those people at our age. They don't enjoy. And then they are preaching to you. It is a sermon of Balaam. And then they organized that feast. To the feast of Baal-Peor. And then, before you know what, hallelujah, they began to catch those fine girls that Bella stationed for them. You know they are related. You know they are related. They are cousins with Israel. And then they say, we are related. We are one. Christian Association of Nigeria, we are one. Are we not one? But there is a reason behind it. Your spiritual life is about to be destroyed. I know a church at Ikotun when they started. How much on fire they were. I have been watching that spirit. Never to enter this ministry. If you ever think that we are going to compromise any stand we take now, can't you see we are getting harder and harder and harder? If you ever think that one day I will say, don't worry, just leave them, let them come, it's his love. When you see me, they talk like that, start dry fasting 3 days, no food, no water, including your animals in your house. For me, I am gone. That is how he starts it. At the end of it all, what does he want? He wants you to be dead spiritually. And what is spiritual death? Is separation from God. That's all. And then the Pentecostals have joined themselves to worldliness. The doctrine of Balaam. That day, they joined themselves in that feast. Oh, glory be to God. God got so angry with them. How many of them did he kill that day? 24,000. What Balaam could not achieve with his divination. On his another advice. Satanic agenda. What did he do? 24,000 in one day. Why did they die? They joined themselves with those unbelievers. Everything sacrificed to idols. That day they died. If you ever understand what I'm saying, then you'll understand when I say that the denominational system, they are all dead. Why? Evidence that you are dead. See how worldly they have become. So worldly until look at their church programs. Look at the kind of people that they gather there. What do they do at the altar, the pulpit these days? They bring comedians to make people laugh and relax. Holiness is no longer preached, but worldliness is encouraged. You dress well, look beautiful. That is the sermon. Nothing more but worldly sermons. Prosperity and faith to receive and prosper. Nothing beyond that. Do you see them go near the book of Revelation? They have no time for that. Praise the Lord. No more holiness. God is a good God. Come anyhow. God loves the sinner. So continue your sin. God loves you. Can't you see the denomination celebrating Valentine? St. Valentine's Day? Can you see all the fashion trends? If you want to know the latest fashions, where do you go? You don't go to nightclub. You go to the church. That is the feast of Baal-Peor. And it is a satanic agenda to bring death upon the people. And what do you see today? All you see, so much anointing everywhere, but no life of Christ behind it. Ah! May God have mercy on us. I say, may God have mercy on us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what is the message? And I'm saying it. Let me give you more example. Let me give you more example. Do you know how Satan, a prayer warrior, do you know you are untouchable by God? There's a fire that surrounds you. But let me tell you something. Sister, brother, you speak in tongue. When you pray, God answers. You live a holy life. You are not pretending over it. You are clean. No man has touched you since you gave your life to Christ. You don't wear a ring. You don't look. You have hours of study and prayers. You are this. So Satan comes and sees fire. Satan comes and sees fire. Now this is what he will do. The next thing he will do for you is to cause somebody who is close to you to betray you. Now, when he betrays you, this is his agenda. It's not your prayer life that he is after. This is his agenda. He causes somebody very close to you to betray you in a very, very, very wicked way that your heart will break. And before you know what, you put on unforgiveness. You hold that person in your heart. And you know, as long as you hold that person in your heart, all your prayers, empty noise. We are not unaware of the device of Satan. You are still praying for 4 hours, but you are seeing defeat all around you. You are fasting, dry fasting, but nothing is moving like before. Why? That is the agenda he does. That is what he called the doctrine of Balaam. To cause you to do something that the wrath of God will come upon you, cut you away from that God you depend on. And so it happens. Little by little, he will use hunger and frustration and turn you from a proper fish to a crayfish. He will bend. Situations will make you bend. He will try you here, try you here. Try you here, try you here. All he's after, there is a virtue you have he wants to attack. So that he will have access to you. So that you will be cut off from God. You see, the age we are living, nobody is safe. That's what Apostle Paul said. He who thinks he stands, he said, take heed, lest he fall. And nobody, including me here, should ever beat my head, my hand. We should just be asking God, give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. I need your grace to follow.
Your grace is enough for me.
So if you understand me now, if I ask you now, where is the seat of Satan? Marine Kingdom, Abby? Cloud 999, Abby? The seat of Satan is in the church. It's a church that is the seat of Satan. If you have ever understood what I've been telling you, sis. That's where he is. He has a system he has designed and he's in full control. And he's receiving worship. That which he has desired to have. People with Bibles in their hand, but they are worshiping Satan. Mystery Babylon. Hallelujah. And so what is the message? It's repent. He said, repent. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Somebody shout hidden manna. And we give him a white stone. Shout white stone. And in the stone, a new name. Somebody shout new name. A new name written. He said, which no man knoweth, save he that received it. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. What is that hidden manna? The hidden manna is what Apostle Paul described in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reading from verse 6 up to verse 16. He called it the hidden wisdom. A revelation, a knowledge that is revealed only to God's elect. Those who the spirit of that age, the Antichrist spirit, will not catch them. By a revelation, and he doesn't give it to everyone, he gives it only to those who repent. What is it to repent? It's to turn away from idolatry, turn away to man-made Christianity, turn away and come back to the apostolic faith. Nothing more than that. Remember, he's the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, what God has prepared for them. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And this thing is revealed only to his elect. Christ endured all the suffering he suffered because there was a revelation he had that no one else knew. The Bible said, for the hope, glory that was set before him, he saw a glory that nobody else around saw. And because his eyes was on the thing that was waiting for him, he endured. He was ready to die, and he died, endured unto death. And everyone that will receive that same result, that same hidden manner, hallelujah, must be one who has totally repented, and you are ready to serve God unto death. And you can never live a sacrificial Christian life until you have received that hidden manner, that revelation, that nobody else receives it, only his elect. They will see us as all the people. They will see you as you are so dead to this world. That's why I told a young girl who has decided to come to Christ, very worldly before. I said, you know what? I believe you're a seed of God. That is how God does with some of us. He will allow us as unbelievers to go into the world very far, very deep. Then you will have seen the vanity. Then he will now show you the other way in Christ. And when we grab it now, we have no reason to go back because we can compare the two. Hallelujah. There is peace in and contentment in serving the Lord. You can't get that peace. You can't get that contentment outside of Christ. When we find Christ, that is the hidden manner that unbelievers cannot understand. Why I am the way I am. Hallelujah. I have decided and I have made up my mind. You can only say it from your heart if you have caught a revelation. Oh, then he promised them a white stone. What is a white stone? Praise the Lord. White is the color of purity. Hallelujah. And that is the dressing of the bride in Revelation chapter 19. And why is it a white stone? The stone is used for building. And it's talking about the position you will occupy in the new Jerusalem, the new city. Hallelujah. You will occupy that same position. And that new name is a secret name. It's your new identity that you will come with. That is the hope of the believer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it is revealed only to the overcomers. Hallelujah. That is the reason of our hope. I don't finish for today. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth that I have. Oh, bless in my heart, I want that Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just pray that God will give you reason to hold on to that rugged faith. What God is doing is returning us back to the apostolic faith. The seed that was planted at Pentecost died at Nacene, sprang up again, hallelujah, through Luther, through Wesley, and in this age. traveled. And now, the true church of the Pentecost is about to be formed. That is evidence the rapture will soon take place. He's coming to rapture a church. Not another church. The same church he planted in the Acts of Apostles is the same church he's coming for.
Give me grace to follow.
That's our prayer.
Abundant grace.
That's our prayer.
To follow. Give me grace to follow. Your grace is enough.
Oh Lord,
give me grace to follow.
Abundant grace.
Oh Lord, give me grace.
Give me grace to follow.
Your grace is enough. Oh Lord, give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow.
Oh yes.
Give me grace to follow. Your grace is enough.
One more time.
Give,
oh
me,
Lord,
grace.
Give me grace.
Oh, abundant grace.
Abundant grace.
I need,
oh,
grace.
Give me grace.
Your grace is enough for me.
I don't know how many people understood what I'm trying to bring out. Take heed, lest you fall. That's why he said, watch and pray. Watch what? These are the things we watch. Not condemning anybody. I don't know how to say it different from the way I say it. I say it because I don't know whether this is the last time you'll be hearing me. Anytime I have opportunity to pray, I don't even know whether this is the last time I'll be talking. But let it be that when I had opportunity, I say what I should say. And everything I say is to make you look inward and take this journey to our eternal destination more seriously than some of us do. And to give you reason to stand where you have decided to stand now in this present truth. To confront the Antichrist. To stand on the truth. Not stay in Brand Assembly. Oh, I say stand on the truth. I'm not a politician. I'm not talking about church politics. I'm not into any expansionist policy agenda. I'm not expanding. I don't believe in branches. So don't think I'm trying to say I'm the only one. Let everybody come and join my own. I'm speaking to the seed of God that may be somewhere in a bedroom, somewhere. Somewhere in one corner, somewhere. Somewhere that has been looking for a way. How do I get out of this nonsense? I found myself. There is hope in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. There is a voice, there is a shout, and it is a midnight cry. Telling God's people, come out of Babylon, and don't be partaker of her idols. Some of us, our pastor is our idol. I say all this, knowing that we are a mixed multitude. There are people that have stayed here. There are some sisters that were here, prophetess. They left here, and they are general overseer of their ministry. In the same Lagos. And they were here for years listening here. Mixed multitude. You see? You see them, smarter you don't see them again. And when you jump them, wherever you jump them, see whether they have become better than when they were here. Nothing more than that. Mixed multitude. That's why I say very hard. Maybe there will be one eaglet here. That we hear the voice of the mama eagle and come out of this nonsense people are involved in. Christianity has become a market where people go there and buy and sell. People enter ministry when they can't get job anywhere anymore, calculating tithes and offerings to live by. What type of gospel do you think those people will preach? You see? But it will be recorded that I told them the truth. I told everybody here the truth. I showed everybody the scripture. Some have left here, and we are proud of them all around the world. They have set up ministries, and we encourage them, and we visit them, and we talk to them. But others, when they leave, they can't. When you meet them, they'll be abusing, including sisters. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this to tell you the sincerity of what I am saying here. And I know I'm not talking to you only, I'm talking to the whole world. If God leads you to this ministry, He leads you to a place where you will make a decision to go or to stay behind. May God push you forward in your spiritual life. May God open your eyes and give you grace to follow Him. In the name of Jesus Christ.